Welcome to the 50 States Finish Line podcast, where we talk about running, road races, and all the ways running enriches our lives. I'm Pam, and I've completed half marathons in 30 states and have run 5 marathons. Thank you for tuning in. On this podcast show, we've talked with a range of runners and their favorite races. For today's episode, I am delighted to be speaking with someone who is both a runner and a community organizer, having formed 603 Endurance, not one sport, every sport. According to 603's website, the organization was formed in 2011, and today, 11 years later, their signature 603 apparel, that 603 logo you see at red, white, and blue shirts, are seen at events throughout New England and the world. They have really put 603 on the map, so I'm so delighted to have my guest in the studio with me today. Welcome, Tom. Do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself as a runner?
Oh, man. Sure. Thanks for having me. As a runner, basically it started where everybody starts. You know, it starts with the 5K, the 10K, the half. It just keeps growing, and the addiction just keeps growing until you're doing 100 milers, I guess. And then it just goes on from there with, stage racing and stuff like that.
Nice. So were you always a runner? Like when you were younger, were you someone who spent a lot of time outside and running, or?
No, it was mostly, basketball, baseball, soccer, stuff like that. And I was on a soccer team. Somebody that was on that team was doing a Reach the Beach race, the 200 mile race.
Yep, done that.
Yep. And somebody got hurt and he's like, do you want to try this? I'm like, I'm not a runner. I'm a soccer player. And I did it, loved it, and then it just kind of spawned from there, and I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah, that's so funny that Reach the Beach was your first experience running, because for our listeners, typically Reach the Beach might be a 12-person team, but it could be as few as like 3 runners. There are some, like, I don't even know what you call those teams, like those
ultra
turbo
teams.
Yeah. And you kind of leapfrog. You do your distance and then you hop back in the van and somebody hops out of the van and they do the next leg. And usually you have one leg in the night. So do you remember that first experience? You going up there from, I don't know if you start at Mount Washington somewhere up north.
Back in the day, it was Brenton Woods. Now it's Cannon Mountain.
Okay.
Or vice versa. I can't remember what it is, but it was back then. And I was the new guy. I was replacing somebody, I think, that was a little bit older than me. So they had given me the shortest mileage. So my first run was, 3.5 miles.
Nice.
So, with that pressure of 12 other or 11 other people in the van, I was just going as hard as I could. You get in the van and you're like, I'm dying. Yeah.
They were probably happy you were the replacement, right?
it was great. I'm still friends with all 11 people in that van.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Our race team was called Memoirs of a Hot Tub. I don't know why we came up with that name, but it has stuck with me all these years later. So you started with a Reach the Beach, kind of a funny distance, right? 200 miles from the mountains down to like Hampton Beach. And then, so from there, you started doing like shorter distances and upping the mileage?
Right. So then it was like, hey, let's try, when Red Hook was a huge thing, we did a Red Hook race, and then it just became all the, Seacoast series and the Dover series. And then it just kind of expanded where, we started getting into like the Hampton Half. And then, now we're doing, the Vermont City Marathon. Yeah. And there was a race called the Emerald Necklace. It was a 3-day race where it was, 23 miles the first day, 25 miles the second day, 33 miles the third day, and I was hooked. Once we get onto the trail, I'm like, this is it. This is fantastic.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So how did that become a organization? How did that become 603?
Right. So, if you remember back in 2008, 2009, it wasn't... Racing wasn't what it is today. There was no lobster rolls. There was no beer. If you were fast,
you'd get a popsicle stick at the end of the Saunders 10K.
Right. But back then, if you were in the front, they'd take their money and they'd go home. Mm-hmm. They weren't super friendly about it. It was pretty cutthroat back in the day. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't my jam. It was a couple of us that would do the Wallace Sands half. And I would sit in the back of the pickup and have a beer. And mm-hmm. all of a sudden there's 6 or 7 people like, hey, can I have a beer? And it really grew out of that, where we just all of a sudden were like, we have something here. I mean, this is, and it was more about the social aspect than it was so much the race. Mm-hmm. Sunday mornings, hey, we're doing 13 miles and then we'll have mimosas. Let's go have brunch in Portsmouth. You know what I mean? So it really became out of the aspect of social versus, you know, cutthroat. We can still be fast, but we can also be nice and friendly and want to hang out.
Nice. And it seems like that ethos has really stayed with the mission. When I see 603 posts, it's often group runs finishing at a pub. So that element hasn't changed. Was it always called 603? Like, how did you, I mean, it's just an iconic look on the shirt. So it's really worked.
Right, right. And back then, you know, nothing was 603. There was no 6 at, it was interesting. There was, so I had gone to college with a guy who was 6'7", and he called himself DJ 6'7". There was a Cannondale bike. I want to call it like 613.
Yeah.
And spelled out the same way. I'm like, let's do 603 endurance spelled out like this. And that's really how it just kind of, we had bought 12 shirts, 12 hats, and it's, you know, we sold them in 24 hours. And then what happened is, you know, we had 60 people that first year. And when we were showing up to races with 60 people, people notice it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of people with the same, I mean, and we're talking white dumpy t-shirts. I mean, we, you know, it was just screen printed on, but Smutty Nose had reached out that winter and said, whatever you're doing, we want in.
Nice.
And we're like, what is in, man? What is in? I don't understand. And so like, well, what do you need? Do you need tents? Do you need beer? Do you know, what can we help you with?
And yes.
Yeah, but I mean, at this point, I didn't know what I was doing. I had no idea. So, you know, it just became all of a sudden, this wasn't planned. 603 was grown 100% organic. It just all of a sudden fell together. And then, so at that same time that we were doing triathlons as well, this other triathlon team was kind of folding. They came to us and said, hey, do you want to kind of take over this team? With that comes Trek Bicycles. Trek Bicycles came in at the same time. So like, it was like a perfect storm where everything just kind of flowed together and it was off. It took off like wildfire.
That is great to hear. So the initial formation, as you said, was like 2011. Did that exponential growth happen early in the development of the business? Like, were you also working another job while this was going on?
Yeah, I was still running the restaurant at that time. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, 603 technically started, I think, in the spring of 2010. Mm-hmm. We didn't do anything about it until 2011. But by 2015, you know, we had 600 members throughout the state.
That's great.
Yeah, it was crazy. It had just exploded. Some people for the wrong reasons, perhaps, mm-hmm. you know, they were showing up to pub runs, maybe more to date than to run. So that kind of weeded itself out by itself.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just exploded.
That is great to hear. And obviously still going really, really strong. What happened during COVID? Did the club keep running?
Right. And so when everything was going on, we realized that there were different groups forming, in the sense of groups, in different throughout the state in the sense of like, you know, hairdressers and, you know, just groups talking to their representatives being like, hey, we need to have an alliance to go and say, this is what we need or this.
Yeah.
So, we reached out to John Mortimer and Millennium. And we started working together. What do we need to do to get racing back?
I gotcha.
And so we were on the phone with, you know, with the state a lot being like, hey, this is this, this, and this, because I put on the Ragged 75, it's a smaller race,
mm-hmm.
the 75 part. The 50K is pretty large, but we said, all right, we won't do the 50K. We'll just do the 75 miler. Let's use this as a guinea pig for the state of New Hampshire.
Yeah.
So we went through all the safety precautions, you know, aid stations. How are we going to run an aid station?
Right.
You know, it really was tough because everything was twice as much. Everything's prepackaged.
Mm-hmm.
Every single thing is individually wrapped.
Yes.
When they come into the aid station, they're now handing a volunteer their water bottle who's wearing gloves and a mask. They are filling the water bottles for them separately. So everything was kind of a trial and error.
Yeah.
It worked really well. That was in August. Pikes Peak marathon in Colorado, mm-hmm. basically used our safety plan. They were like, this worked really well. Let's nice. Use this.
Paying it forward.
Yeah, yeah. It seemed to go pretty good on how everything went. We did have to maybe scold a couple RDs who were a little willy-nilly in what they were mm-hmm. doing. We were like, you're going to ruin it for the rest of us. Like,
yeah.
we need to keep this pretty, because none of us knew what we were doing. We were right. all learning like everybody
so
else.
True. Yeah. So true.
So it was interesting to see who would, you know, step up and, mm-hmm. and play by the rules, and then who wanted to be freelance. And we're like, listen, you're gonna ruin everything. But everything went really good for us. We got really lucky. The only things that suffered a little bit were the pub runs, but the pub runs are back now in full force. Nice. So yeah, nice. It's great.
Nice. So has running changed, do you think, since that time, that little break? Do you see, I mean, maybe some people really picked up running during that time that they had.
Yeah, it's good and bad in the sense that people are now pushing their limits on their distance. I think it's causing some issues on 5Ks and 10Ks because nobody's showing up.
Oh, okay.
If you start looking at the numbers this year, 5Ks are extremely down by hundreds and hundreds of people. So I think that there's some repercussion from people.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to pay $40 and do a 5K anymore.
Yeah.
They're exploring their limits, which is awesome. So now everybody's going for the longer distances. So
interesting.
So I think that there's some aspects that are super positive, but I think I think we're going to miss an age demographic that does the 5Ks to 10Ks I think we're going to miss that for a couple of years.
Yeah. 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 Well, I think if it means people are out running out in nature longer, that's a total win. Have to say that. Does your organization have chapters in different parts of the state, or is it one big organization? Like if someone wants to come from Manchester and run in Dover, they just hop into that pub run.
Yeah. It's one big thing. You know, we have people that just step up out of the goodness of their heart and, you know, run the Portsmouth, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, we have pub runs in 13 different towns. So,
I did not know that.
Yeah. So, I mean, they do it out, you know, they jump in and they take over and they lead it, and it's great. So yeah, I mean, you can jump in anywhere, anytime.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I tend to be more of an early morning runner, so I don't know if I would do that, but I imagine people who are traveling, or want some company on a run, those are great things. And I imagine some people do it like every single week there at that Tuesday pub run. Religiously. Winters are tough, I would imagine, for some of those pub runs, dark and cold.
But some of these guys are diehard, man, and they are out there -3 February. Yeah, they're out there and they're having a blast. So good. Yeah, it's great.
Nice. Well, I think we're going to take a short break. You are listening to the 50 States Finish Line podcast, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the 50 States Finish Line podcast. Tom, can you tell us about 603 events? I think there are maybe six different events you all conduct, maybe even more than that. So let's talk about those events.
Yeah. So we do Dixon's Revenge, which is in April. It's in Rollinsford. Super muddy. It's a half marathon, 5K, and a Caney Cross run, which is with your dog, which is when we have a girl, Maureen, she brought it to us and said, this is something that she really wanted to do. We're like, all right, let's give it a whirl. I was super nervous. 40 dogs at a starting line. I was like, this is going to be mayhem. They are so well behaved.
They're psyched to run.
They're so psyched to run. They're great. They're unbelievable. It's better than a dog park. They're worse than they are at the starting line of this race. It's great.
Is it limited? So it's only 40 dogs. So it must sell out quickly.
It does. Yeah. I mean, we talked about that at the end of this race. 40 was perfect. We may add 10 more just to get it to a nice fluffy 50. But yeah, so Dixon's Revenge, half marathon. Then we go into Loon Mountain, which is the U.S. National Championship. So we have, I mean, every famous person you see in every magazine is coming.
And the U.S. National Champion in mountain trail running?
Right. So this is going to be for the vertical championship, for the championships in Thailand and the championships in Italy. So Team USA will be based off of these runners.
Okay. Can people go and spectate that if they can't?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. So you can take the gondola right to the top at Loon, and then we'll have a beer fest down at the bottom afterwards. So yeah, it's a huge trail race. I mean, there'll be 1,000+ runners.
Do you know the dates of that right off the top of your head?
July 10th.
July 10th. All right, we'll put that in the show notes too, but that sounds really cool to go and see.
And it's only 6 miles, so it's totally obtainable for everybody. It's 6 miles, it's uphill.
Uphill, 6 miles.
I mean, yeah, it sounds...
Less than Mount Washington.
Right, this is tougher than Mount Washington. Oh. But it's a different beast, but yeah. And then we go into Ragged, which is August 5, 6, and 7. It is a 75-mile race. That is the one that is 25, and then 33. That third day is a 50K. That 50K is usually the 50K National Trail Championships for USA Track and Field. It's going to be out west this year. We kind of flip-flop back and forth. September 11th is the Kismet Cliff Run in North Conway.
Oh, nice.
That is by far the most scenic race, I think, on the East Coast. 2 360-degree views over the moats. And then it ends at Echo Lake State Park, right?
Beautiful.
At the base of Cathedral Ledge. Fantastic. And then we go into Vulcan's Fury at Pawtuckaway State Park, half marathon again. And then on a dry year, we do a kind of an end of the season pumpkin relay, which is, you know, the little mini pumpkins?
Yes.
We do. So it's a team. So you run 1.5 miles, pass off the mini pumpkin, 1.5 miles, then you do it again. So everybody gets a 5K.
And you got to return with your pumpkin intact.
You got to return with your pumpkin intact. And we do that in Lee, New Hampshire on a farm. Coyote Springs out. Yeah, out there.
Yeah. I love that. Right. I love that. If someone was a road runner and they wanted to try like a trail or a mountain,
right?
Maybe not your event there at Loon, but is there one that you would say, maybe that Kismet sounds like a good one to start with?
No, Kismet's super hard.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah, Kismet's, it has a 5 miler and a half, but both of them have some serious vert in them. To be honest, Kingman Farm 5K is probably like trail running 101. It's put on by Acidotic Racing. It's perfect for newbies. Loon is too. Loon, you have to go in getting rid of time expectations. Mm-hmm. It's obtainable. You just have to know that it's going to hurt a little bit.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see road runners try trail and then go back to road. They get so much faster because they're working different muscles. They're working much harder on the trail. When they go to run a road race, their times get so much better.
Yeah.
So it's a great cross training thing. I think that everybody should be doing both. There's no reason to just do road or just do trail. I think both are the way to go.
Yeah. I guess a question I have is around, does a person going into the woods trail running, do they equip themselves differently? You know, I think like as somebody going into the summer, it might be nice to get out of the heat. So are there things you just would encourage someone to think about if they're going to go do some trail running for the first time?
Yeah. I mean, you always have to go prepared. I mean, if you're...
Yeah. What does that look like, I guess?
Right. I mean, it's really no different. If you're wearing a vest when you're running, you wear it trail running. Okay. You know, you want nutrition, you want, you know, liquid, you want fluids, you know, it's basically the same thing. And you know, if you're know where you're going, I think that would be the biggest thing. Let other people know where you're going.
Okay.
If you are going onto a trail that you don't 100% know, or not going with somebody that knows where they're going, don't get lost. That makes for a long, long day.
laugh because we've all been lost, and that's not a fun place to be in the summer.
Right.
I do like to ask my guests kind of some of their favorite things. So maybe do you have a favorite trail running shoe, a favorite trail gadget?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Hoka guy.
Oh, another Hoka. We've got lots of Hoka fans coming in the studio.
Yeah, I mean, I had the first pair.
The Speed Goat?
No, well, originally I had, it wasn't the Bondi. I can't remember what it was called. The Stinson. Stinson back in the day. I mean, that was like a moon boot. You know, people were laughing at you. But now the Evo Movate is what I wear.
Nice.
I'm not a Speed Goat fan. It just doesn't fit my foot right. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people love the Speed Goat.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. And are you a Garmin wearer?
I am.
Okay.
Yeah, Garmin. I have the 6 Pro, the new solar one. It lasts for days. It's great.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. That seems like a really popular tech item.
Yeah.
Is there, so it sounds like you're kept pretty busy organizing the races, and it sounds like it's in a pretty condensed period of time that you have all these races. Obviously, planning goes on all year, but do you have a race that you'd like to do someday?
Oh, man.
Either that you'd like to put on or go somewhere and do?
No, I mean, there's so many cool races all over the country, mm-hmm. And I've been lucky enough to do a lot of them. I mean, Western States is probably, that'll always be a bucket list one.
Yeah.
So.
Nice. Nice. Is there something you say to yourself when the going gets tough?
It depends on what kind of tough it is, I guess. I mean, when you do some of these 100-milers and you're out there for, 24 hours, it's, you're always talking to yourself, telling you it's not that bad. These are phantom
pains.
So wait,
you've done that more than once, it sounds like to me.
I have, yeah. Yeah.
That's great. I've only watched movies, right, where they've done that, and it just looks exhausting.
It is. And every time you finish, you say, I'm never doing this again. and then you still sign up and do it again. Right.
Is there a 100-miler here in New England?
There is, Vermont 100 in July.
Okay.
I'll be at that. I have a 50-miler this weekend and then the 100-miler in July.
And it takes 24 hours to complete.
Yeah, sometimes longer. Yeah.
Oh, enjoy that. I'm sure people enjoy watching you do that, but that is quite an accomplishment. And I think what's really interesting, as we started this out, right, what started out as jumping in on a Reach the Beach relay, one of 12, has turned into this full-time brand and business. And, I guess that's just maybe my final question for individuals who really maybe enjoy their running, right? This is something that you never really planned for. But I would imagine it's been a lot of fun. I mean, you're probably doing what you love.
Yeah. You say that, but yes. Yes. I'm not sitting in an office. It's 100% right. But doing it, starting from scratch, not knowing what I was doing, I took a lot of lumps, just if I were to look back at myself 10 years ago and saying, I would have done it completely different, not betting on myself. I didn't know that this was going to happen. So there wasn't, I was buying shirts in small amounts. Mm-hmm. So there was no money to be made. We were losing some money on hats. So, if I would have known that this was a thing, I would have been like, oh, let's buy 100 hats.
Right.
This is no problem. But you don't know that. You don't know what the market is. We kind of wrote the book on it. So it was interesting to see it grow so big, so fast. And, yeah, so it's interesting to I wouldn't trade it for anything, mm-hmm. but it definitely is it was a lot of hard work.
Yeah. Well, I think all success is hard work, and that's I think what you're speaking to is really an important lesson around it takes a long time for something to what appears to be or appears going to look like instant success, but it took years of building that up. And it sounds like you're surrounded by a pretty good team. Do you have a pretty good size group that you work with now?
They're unbelievable.
Nice.
They sacrifice their weekends. You call them, they're there. It's crazy.
Nice. Nice. Well, it's been so nice, Tom, having you in the studio. I don't know if you have any final thoughts that you want to share with our listeners.
No, I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. And you can find 50 States Finish Line Podcast on all podcast platforms. Until next time, I hope some of you consider trail running and mountain running, but happy running. Thanks so much.